any comments related to agenda items or any public communication, please submit a speaker card that are in the back entrance to any of our, to myself or to our staff before the meeting. Thank you. Yes, good evening. Commissioner Arano?
Here.
Commissioner Handy?
Here.
Commissioner Mulligan?
Here.
Commissioner Namikas?
Here.
Commissioner Savage?
Here.
Vice Chair Schellenbarger? Absent. Chair Ackerman?
Here. Okay, we're going to start with a public comment, but real quickly, I just want to state for the visitors here tonight, this is an opportunity to you to speak on items that are not on the agenda, so please turn in a speaker's card if there's something you'd like to say directly to the Water Commission, and we're more than happy to hear what you have to say. Do we have any public comments at this time?
Before we start public comment, I do want to acknowledge that Vice Chair Schellenbarger has now joined the meeting, as well as we have Yesenia Anderson here for our legal consultation in the place of Miles Hogan. She's here to just for technical questions. Anything that we may have historically based on the Water Commission, we can always refer back to for next meeting.
Thank you very much. Okay, moving on. Did we have a speaker card?
No public comment at this time.
Okay, very good. Let's move to agenda item number one, and that is a recommendation that we approve the minutes from the last meeting. Do we have any changes, corrections, additions?
Yes, so for item two of the minutes, Commissioner Handy was the one who moved, and I just want to add to the record that Commissioner Schellenbarger second the motion for the minutes of the previous meeting.
Okay, so the minutes were approved for the previous meeting that we had. Okay, I'm not understanding that.
And that was a motion by Commissioner Handy with a second by Commissioner Schellenbarger.
Okay.
That was just not noted in the write-up. Staff report.
They have been approved, so we get to move on to agenda item number two.
I make a motion to approve the minutes as amended by staff.
Second.
Do I hear a second?
Yeah. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Commissioner Handy.
Can we take a vote, please?
Yes. Commissioner Arano.
Aye.
Commissioner Handy.
Aye.
Commissioner Mulligan.
Abstain.
Commissioner Namikas?
Aye.
Commissioner Savage?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schellenbarger?
Yes.
Chair Ackerman?
Yes.
And the motion passes with 6 A's and 1 abstain.
Okay. Now we are on to agenda item number 2. It's a draft public facilities and service element general plan. And we have a speaker tonight, and that is Gina Torrington.
Yes, thank you. I'm just going to tag team this with our community development department. I have Marua Clancy here to go ahead and introduce the item, and we also have the general plan contractor who is going to give us a presentation.
Thank you.
Hello, good evening. For the record, Maruja Klintze, Assistant Director in the Community Development Department, Project Manager for the General Plan in conjunction with Ramey & Associates, who's our General Plan Consultant, been with us for going into year 5. So we are about to land this plane, and as we, prior to finalizing our draft general plan. We are shepherding various elements to specific commissions and groups, yourself for the public facilities element, and I believe our consultant Matt Ramey is online. He will kick off our PowerPoint presentation, and we will talk about those policies and frameworks specific to Ventura Water and your oversight. Thank you.
Matt, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great.
Hi, Matt. Did we lose?
I'm here.
Okay. We're ready to go when you are.
We're ready.
I'm sorry, you ready for me?
Yes.
Is there a PowerPoint up? And is it a share screen opportunity? So we're all looking at the same presentation?
Yes, one moment.
Probably under that state compliance that they list.
Yeah, but that's something I think we should address.
Yeah, this one, it's in here. Inside that one.
Which one?
11.4.
Yeah, that's the one. I just added the end of it.
We're all looking at the same thing.
Sorry.
Sue, was that 10.2?
10.2, is that, did you circle it too? Also circled. Where was it? Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
You circled that one too? It seems inconsistent, seems inconsistent.
Mr. Chairman, in the interest of everybody's time, I would move that we jump this subject at this time, this table this one, and come back to it. We have plenty of other things to listen to and let them work on their technology, and we'll come back to this topic.
Okay, I do believe they're up now. Thank you. We were just talking about that.
Hi, Matt. Are you able to see the presentation on your screen now?
I am. I am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Should we start?
Yes.
Okay. Apologies that there were technical difficulties. I'll start and introduce, and I know that I'm going to turn the presentation over to Gina partway through. So just introduce myself. I'm Matt Ramey with Ramey & Associates, and my firm is the lead firm on the general plan update. What we want to do this evening is to give an overview of the water related policies and actions in the draft public facilities and services element, which is part of the future and soon to be forthcoming draft general plan update. So this is really an opportunity to hear and see what is in the draft plan at this point. As a reminder, I know we came to this group probably 3 or 4 years ago to talk about the general plan. And the general plan is more than just the general plan itself. It actually includes the local coastal program, the climate action resilience plan, and the environmental impact report. There were other associated projects associated with the general plan, including the active transportation plan, which has since been adopted, and the historic context statement and historic survey, which is currently underway. Next slide, please. The purpose of a general plan is to guide the city's future actions. It is a high-level document that is required by the state, and every city and county within the state is required to complete the general plan. It is a shared vision for the future of the community, and it really provides high-level policy direction for the city, but it leaves the details of specific implementation actions and items up to the implementation plans, the topic-specific implementation plans. While the general plan can be updated 4 times per year, it typically is not. It typically is really only updated every 10 to 15 to 20 years with updates on a more regular basis at 5 or 10 years or so. There are 9 required elements in the general plan: land use, circulation, housing, noise, conservation, safety, open space, air quality, and environmental justice. One thing that you will notice here is that public facilities and services is actually not listed anywhere here in these in this list. So it is an optional element, but there are aspects of the public facilities and services element which are required, including infrastructure. Including water, wastewater, stormwater, and transportation is included in the circulation element or in the land use element, typically, but we have it in a separate element, which is appropriate under state law. Next slide, please. We've been at this project for quite a while now, and these are the 6 phases from the planning process that we have. We are in the plan development phase, and we are about to, in a very short period of time, release the draft general plan. And so we are nearing the end. We have gone through existing conditions, visioning, land use alternatives, creating a land use designation map, which is what took most of the time for the process, creating policies, drafting the plan, and then once the plan is drafted and released, it'll go through a public review process and the adoption process, which is expected to occur later this year. Throughout the process, there's been a lot of community engagement, and that is continuing this evening and continuing on through the next several months. For those who have been paying attention to the process. We have spent a lot of time with our general plan advisory committee. In fact, we've had over 30 meetings with that body, and they have reviewed all aspects, or many aspects of the plan. Not all aspects, but many aspects. Next slide, please. This slide shows the outline of the draft general plan, really the topic-specific elements in the draft general plan. So as you can see, some of them track with the state requirements, while others are new elements. The city can, at its discretion, add whatever topics it wants or combine elements as it sees fit, so long as all of the requirements from the state are included somewhere in the general plan. The general plan also has to be horizontally and vertically consistent, so you can't have conflicting aspects within an element or between different elements. What we're going to be talking about this evening is the public facilities and services element and a subset of those policies. Let's go to the next slide, please. These are the topics that are included in the public facilities and services element, and includes a wide range of topics, including public buildings, safety, fire, healthcare, social services, and then infrastructure, including water, stormwater, and wastewater. It also includes other services, including solid waste, natural gas and electricity, and telecommunications. Items 8 and 10 are highlighted because those are the main topics of our conversation this evening. Next slide, please. Before we get into the specifics of what is in the draft public facilities and services element related to water and wastewater, just wanted to highlight the process that we have gone through. So we have spent quite a bit of time over the last 4 to 5 years with the community developing ideas. We've also spent time working with city departments and even talking to boards and commissions and getting ideas for what should be included in each of the elements. And that was very early in the process. We then created a draft of the goals, policies, and actions, and numerous departments have reviewed and provided input on the public facilities and services element. And you can see them listed here, including Ventura Water. That's why I'll be turning it over to Gina in a minute to talk about the topics and the goals and policies within the element related to water and wastewater. So just to point out, with all of the elements, that the goals, policies, and implementation actions provide high-level policy direction and a framework for decision-making. One of the challenges with a general plan is that we tend to want to include every piece of detail in a general plan and try and answer every decision. That's typically not because they're 20-year documents or 30-year documents. That's typically an unwise thing to do, because we want to create the framework for when issues come up and opportunities come up to be able to make those decisions. So the detailed decisions, including what our future projects, are not included in the general plan. These decisions are included in the topic-specific implementation plans, the CIP, and other implementation-focused documents. What we want to do this evening is to, and the purpose of this item is to relay these specific items for Ventura Water for the purposes of informing the Water Commission, and so that you all know what's coming up and what is going to be in the draft general plan. Gina, I'm going to turn it over to you next to talk about the goals and policies that are included for water.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Again, I'm Gina Dorrington, General Manager for Ventura Water. And we have listed the next slides in the PowerPoint. I don't know where that went. but there are specific goals for the subjects of water conservation and wastewater found within the facilities section. And under the water section for PFS 10, the overall reaching goal is to ensure sustainable water supply that supports existing and future community needs. So under that, the spokes, if you will, the water rights dedication, new development, water distribution system efficiency, water distribution system maintenance, and drinking water standards. Next slide. Continuing on with that, we have our water infrastructure analysis water supply, diversified portfolio, emergency water supply, and funding. So these are all goals within the water section. Next slide. So with the section 11 is develop and implement citywide water conservation programs and strategies. So under these, we have spokes for water-wise prevention, conservation pricing, conservation techniques, making conservation a way of life in California. The education, next slide, education and outreach, integrate sustainable landscape strategies and recycled water use. Next slide. Under wastewater, section 13, the highlighted goal, a specific goal, provide adequate sewage conveyance and treatment capacity to meet projected growth, which includes spokes of technical studies, sewer collection systems, and water system maintenance. So out of those three sections of goals, next slide, the implementation actions within this policy's framework include the urban water management plan, and that's updating the urban water management plan, which we do on a five-year basis, and then the updating of the wastewater water master plan, the annual comprehensive water resources report, the wastewater master plan, and the water sewer studies. You can see on the slide here we have that the wastewater master plan was completed in 2022. The reason why our water master plan is ongoing is we do update that water master plan based on models whenever development comes in, what their capacity and their demand is going to be. We do also update the sewer model as well, but we do continually go back to the water wastewater, the water master plan. And they're both all of these are actually living documents that feed into each other. But this is really what comes out of the actions for this specific area in the general plan. So I would go over next steps, or is that Matt?
I'll go over next steps.
Okay.
And then we can turn it over for conversation. If we go to the next slide, please. So the next steps for the general plan are that the City Council is going to endorse the Climate Action, hopefully the Climate Action Resilience Plan on Tuesday the 25th, apologies, which is tomorrow. We're going to the Historic Preservation and Arts and Culture Commissions in March. The draft general plan is going to be released in April. The draft environmental impact report is scheduled to be released in June. We will have a few final general plan advisory committee meetings in April and June to review the draft environmental impact report and the draft general plan, respectively. And then we will have planning commission meetings to review the land use element in March, and then to start going through chapters of the general plan once it's released in April, May, June, and September. September will be a hearing. And then the City Council meetings sort of follow the same path of land use in March, a variety of topics for review in April, May, and June, and then there will be adoption ideally in October of this year. And so the fall is set for adoption. So we're moving forward, we're nearing the end of the process. I'm going to turn it over now to discussion. Just want to reiterate one thing that Gina said at the very end, which is that the general plan is really intended as this higher level document with the implementation happening really through the day-to-day actions of Ventura Water and the plans that Ventura Water creates, the urban water management plan, the water master plan, the wastewater master plan, because that's really where all of the major like detailed decisions are made. So with that, we're happy to answer any questions. I think technical questions are probably going to be more for Gina and process. Bigger picture general plan questions would probably be addressed to me. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any public speakers at this time? Looks like we have one. Thank you, Mr. Amendola.
Thank you, sir. Hi, good evening, everyone. It seems that I'm mostly the only person here from the general public, as usual. And it's kind of interesting thinking about this and thinking about the Water Resources Report. I'm wondering how many commissioners have looked at the report where it says we have a 600-year water supply in our basins. And I'm wondering what impact that'll have on these discussions. Or is the commission aware of this report?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, let's talk with our commissioners. Start with Commissioner Savage. Comments, questions?
Well, I'll bring something up, and I'll probably defer to some of the others.
Can you speak in the mic a little closer?
Yeah, please? As we started this session, and I have to get to it here, I noticed, looking to my right, that my fellow commissioners were all circling an item on here. We're wondering how we deal with this, and I may let others talk a little bit more about it. But item 10.2 talks about that new development should pay the costs associated with the impact of those developments. Recently, the program, whose name I'm blanking on right now, what is it?
Net Zero,
was in fact canceled by the City Council. So we do not follow item 10.2, I guess, my only comment. What is that impact? And maybe someone else wants to elaborate more.
Okay, next up we have...
I can answer slightly. So this did come up also in the GPAC meeting, and so that is something that's going to be clarified based on further review with the Community Development, Economic Development Department on how that's going to become. Because yes, that is true in the old general plan, and net zero, as it was developed, net zero fee came into play. The water rights dedication goal above that is still enacted. That is, if there are water rights to dedicate for development, it does turn over to the city. The further a new development has been addressed in a question for us to work on in the future.
Any further questions there? Commissioner Savage?
No, that was my only question.
Okay.
Jumped out at me.
Commissioner Namikas, what say you?
That was the question that I had as well.
Okay. Commissioner Mulligan?
I have a few questions. I have a follow-up on that. Excuse me, I'm a little hoarse. I thought you had said at one meeting that they were going to take another look at the net zero, or you were, and maybe calculate it a different way. Is that gone by the wayside, that plan?
The direction was to remove the net zero fee as it was in the current policy. So this might be something that helps bring that back. But we don't have direction from council on that yet. And as this plan moves forward, that can be an opener for further discussion.
Okay, so you need guidance from the council.
We do need guidance.
Okay. A few more questions. Oh, a comment. I listened to the last meeting, although I didn't attend, and I know there was a lot of discussion about prioritizing different elements of how you set rates, and there was a comment about the City Council not having weighed in on certain elements of it, I think by the public. Clearly, they've weighed in on conservation pricing, if this is in here. So that would just be something we want to consider as the rates go forward, that... they want to create incentives through pricing mechanisms that reflect the true cost of service and encourage efficient water usage. Another one was recycled water use, 11.7. It says expand the city's existing purple pipe infrastructure. With water pure in place, where would be a circumstance that expanding purple pipe would be cost effective?
So thank you. These are all things we would like you to comment on. So this was existing, and we want to get comment back for that. So if that is something that Water Commission would like to add to the comments that we turn into the consultant before it goes to City Council, that isn't a comment that we can add.
Well, I don't want to speak on behalf of the whole commission, but as I understand it, with water pure in place, Is there a situation where it would be cost-effective to go install purple pipe in the ground that you're aware of?
Yeah, we do not have any plan to expand purple pipe.
Then perhaps it should be removed. There's a better plan in place that's being pursued, and so that, I think, might just confuse the issue to have that in there.
We will make that note.
Okay. That's all I had. Thank you.
Let's see. I have one comment in regards to that purple pipe. I mean, it seems to me that if you can go through the wastewater treatment plant and not go to Water Pure, the cost of that water would be a lot less. So I could still see some value in using the purple pipe, say, at the golf courses and such.
May I? So where are the pipes already in the ground? Certainly, where it's already, where there's purple pipe already to the golf courses, continuing to use that, or if there's some small use next to it, perhaps that makes sense. But the expense of putting pipe in the ground just makes expanding the purple pipe system very expensive.
I thought maybe you were saying that they should just eliminate the purple pipe altogether.
No, I think this says expand. Oh. Expand the city's existing purple pipe infrastructure. I think expanding is probably not a goal that we should be pursuing.
Okay, Commissioner Handy, you're up.
Thank you, sir. On number 3.2, I would like to add the word, it says promote energy conservation practices at city, all city-owned facilities. I'd like to add the word water into that. Promote water and energy conservation practices at all of them, because that's something I think that should be in part of the thing. It's 3.2.
In the energy section of the
in
full
the public
plan?
Public building section.
Okay, thank you.
3.2. Because it says basically demonstrate low water use techniques, install energy efficient lighting, and promote energy conservation. And since you already have it in there, is to demonstrate low water use techniques, I believe it said promote energy and water conservation. Just add the word water into it. In regards to school and education, I'd like to see them add a 4.6 and basically state, demonstrate low water use techniques and promote water conservation practices as something to add to the curriculum for Ventura Water to try and address the students in regards to water usage and conservation, because I believe that's something that would be beneficial to have within the school district area. That would be a 4.6 addition. I basically took it off of 3.2 and added that to 4. Made a 4.6.
Are we good?
No, I got a couple more.
Okay.
In 11.4. It basically goes through all the usage. It says right here, for the commercial, industrial, and institutional, it says landscapes with dedicated irrigation meters and water loss. Because of the new legislation of 1572, I believe it, the non-functional turf should be added in that section as to something that should be worked on and looked at as making conservation a way of California way of life. Just basically add non-functional turf, because that's something that government buildings in by 2027 are supposed to have that done, and then you've got to phase in for the other three areas. And that is all.
All right, thank you very much. Next up, we have Commissioner Aranio.
Thank you. My question comes from, or it has to do with section 10.9, emergency water supply. We've all heard, obviously, over the past couple of years, some major fires that have really wreaked havoc on water systems. I'm wondering if this one here, the way that is written, is this in response to that, trying to address that issue, or was this already in here and it's a carry through? And if so, this being a high-level policy document that drives direction, what impacts is that going to have? obviously we've seen that there are inadequacies in some systems and how they've been responding or being able to respond. And how does this work with that as far as being able to address it or be able to expand upon it?
This has always been a goal within the water supply, is to have water for emergencies, earthquakes, natural disasters. So it's a carry through. If there's a suggestion in language or comments to adjust to the times, we can consider that.
Not at this time.
Okay.
Think about that.
Yes, I don't want.
That's it for me.
Okay, thank you very much. Vice Chair Schellenberger.
All right, thank you. A lot of other commissioners have touched on things, comments that I had, or have also made suggestions about things that I had questions on, including just wanted to point out in under the school section, the goals four, I agree that maybe including something with about working with the school districts on increasing water efficiency on campuses and conservation, more of a partnership on their facilities and working with them. I'm sure there's some shared learning and some opportunities potentially for partnerships there. As well as, I of course had questions about that 10.2 and new development. So I think, as well as other commissioners, would be very interested on how the city plans to address that goal and moving forward, and what the timeline would be for that. So look forward to also hearing updates periodically about that as it moves forward. So thank you for giving us some clarification on it. Also with the 10.9 emergency water supply, I also underlined the word fire there as a concern of just in light of recent events, in that I think it's a concern of the community's perception and understanding of what our water system is designed to be able to handle and what types of fires we're talking about. I, of course, appreciate it doesn't say wildfire here, because that would be a big kind of red flag concern here. But I just, I also, along with my fellow commissioner, don't have a suggestion on changing the language, but to be aware that, you know, there may be at times some misunderstanding or conceptions about what the city's responsibility is or goals. So just wanted to make note of that. Under 11.5, education and outreach, I don't know if it would fall under this goal specifically, but I also do think that job training programs are important and to look at opportunities. Potentially education, I guess, could encompass job training, but when it comes to conservation and installing different water systems and different native plant or drought-tolerant landscaping and how to maintain those landscaping, I know that other cities have at times helped support programs for job training and training you know, the next wave of workers that will be implementing those types of programs for the community. So opportunities potentially there. And otherwise, I didn't really have a question, just a general comment that when first reviewing this and looking at the list of the implementation actions, some of them, it's kind of unclear to me how they tie directly back to the goals. But I understand that these are guiding, this is a guiding framework for decision making. So I guess I just trust that I do think that there may be, is these implementation actions supposed to encompass all the goals to be included in there? Because I'm sure there's other actions and policies and programs that the city does implement that are tied to these goals that are not listed in this short list of really, which are just more planning documents and planning exercises. And I would just hope
something that every time that we initiate one of these planning efforts, or revisit it or update it, that we do reflect back on what the goals are of the general plan.
Okay, we can clarify.
Are we good there?
Yeah.
Great, thank you. Okay, I'm in alliance with fellow commissioners on 10.2, obviously. I'm looking forward to seeing what how that's going to be worded according to City Council and their removal net zero program. I think 10.9, emergency water supply, I think we need to start thinking out of the box. We think about pumps, tanks, pipelines, tanks up here, gravity fed. I think we need to start looking into actual water tenders for potable and non-potable water. And we mentioned fire protection, earthquake, or both. I think we should call that all risk. Whatever type of situation we could have in this city, let's start thinking outside the box before we have that 727 run down the middle of Main Street or something awful, and have plans in advance of that. If we do need to supply water to firefighting equipment or whatever it is, there should be some agreements with local vendors, providers to accomplish that that task. Not planning for that, and that's what we're doing here is planning, right? Our goals is to have an ironclad program. I think it'd be a good idea to, once again, all risk, potable, non-potable water solutions, and go from static tank to transportable water for whatever the needs are in the city of Ventura. How about the Santa Clara River floods or the dam breaks at Casitas? What are we going to do to support the residents with firefighting water and also potable water? What is our plan before heading down to Smart and Final to pick up bottles of water? That's all I have to say.
Okay. I have a little follow-up, if you don't mind.
I'm sorry.
I have some two follow-ups, if you
okay,
don't mind.
Okay, can you just talk a little closer? Because I
yeah.
can't hear you at all.
I'm a little scratchy.
Thank you so much.
On the recycled water use, I have some proposed language. Rather than recycled water use, what about calling it beneficial use of wastewater and saying strive to maximize beneficial use of the city's wastewater? You could get more specific about potable reuse and recycled water, but that's really the goal. So that would be my proposed replacement for this recycled water use, beneficial use of wastewater. And for the emergency water supply, that word adequate is kind of a concern because it depends on who you're talking to and what people think are adequate. You know, water systems, retail water systems are supposed to meet certain standards for fire flow. And that's really what the city needs to do. And you might consider tying a little bit more to standards than just saying adequate, because some people think adequate is you put out, you know, thousands of acres of brush fire, and that's just not feasible. So consider something other than that word adequate.
Any other comments? I have one more. I've talked with Commissioner Namikas on several occasions about our water supply for fire protection and how the system is set up now. And have we determined fire flows, like how many GPMs for this particular area, the various zones that we have? Do we know, depending on, okay, if we have a wildfire like the Thomas again, how many inch and a half lines flowing 30, 60, 95, 125 GPM, how long until we overwhelm the support tanks down below being pumped up to the tanks that support us with water? Do we have any type of computations that would identify that?
In the city water master plan, we have the fire flow based on what the fire flow is defined as. It is not a wildfire.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's single family dwelling. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's there's different levels. There's multifamily, single dwelling unit. And there has yet to be a determination of water, if there would be a water calculation for wildfire.
Maybe that would be a good idea to work on that in the future. Just and it's not it really depends on how much the firefighters are flowing on each particular engine and how much water they use. Really adversely affects the water supply if they overuse the water.
Correct.
And you can see a lot of that going on down at Topanga, or in Topanga and Palisades, overuse of water. So it's just a thought, and it's something that maybe in the future we should talk about that. All right, on that note.
I had one comment.
Please.
You know, after the last meeting, that video was sent where the city council weighed in and had the water department, the previous director, answering some questions. And they had said that one of the things that they had done is they had developed or implemented some generators to back up the lack of electricity. And no one really asked, well, what is the capacity of the pumps pumping water up to the water tanks? And from what I could tell, it sounded like the pumps were at 1,000 gallons per minute. Does that sound right?
You know, I to stay in the parameters of the topic for the general plan, we could come back and discuss that, and I can get that information for you. I don't have that off the top of my head either. But I don't want to veer too far off of this conversation.
We're getting on the weeds. But maybe this is something we should discuss with the fire chief or his fire prevention engineers to determine what it is we have and what we could do with what we think we have. All right.
All right.
Anyone else? Okay, that was a receive and file. And so there's no vote on that. So we're going to go to the next agenda item, which is item number 3, State Water Project Delta Conveyance Facilities Funding. And we have Jennifer Trebo tonight.
Great. Good evening, Water Commissioners. Here tonight to present another State Water Project item. This time we have a funding request for the State Water Project Delta Conveyance Facilities to continue planning and design work. So just a little reminder on the background is that Venturi County Flood Control District acquired 20,000 acre foot entitlement to state water in 1963. That was subsequently assigned to Casitas Municipal Water District and then as the administrator. And then we have agreements with Casitas for the city to have 10,000 acre feet of water, Casitas to get 5,000 acre feet, and United Water Conservation to get 5,000 acre feet. 1850 of which they leased to Port Rainey Water Agency. Over time, alternative means to convey water through the Delta have been considered and to have the objective to restore and protect ability to deliver state project water supply for climate resiliency, seismic resiliency, water supply reliability, and operational resiliency. This slide goes through a little bit of the timeline of those recent considerations. So in 2018, the city approved an agreement in principle for California Water Fix, and that included two tunnels to deliver, have a capacity of 9,000 cubic feet per second. In 2019, the governor announced that he did not support the two-tunnel California Water Fix. And so over the next year, Smart Rural Water Resources reconsidered the options and released their plan for the Delta Conveyance Project. And that included a single tunnel with a 6,000 cubic feet per second capacity. And later that year, the Department of Water Resources completed their agreement in principle for that Delta Conveyance facility. And then they came to the contractors in December of that year, and the city approved the funding agreement to pay for Delta Conveyance facility planning. So that Delta Conveyance option includes two intakes, one tunnel, the Bethany Reservoir alignment has been selected four bays, pumping plant, south jetty conveyance facilities, and other ancillary facilities. So just summarizing the contributions that we committed to and paid since January of 2021, the city's portion, totaled up to almost a little bit over $800,000 over the past 4 years. And so with that, us and the other contractors, DWR has been able to complete several planning efforts. They have completed and certified the final environmental impact report. All major permit applications and supporting documentation have been prepared. Preliminary design has been completed to support environmental review. They've done updated cost estimates and a benefit cost analysis. Tribal consultation, outreach to environmental justice communities and advocates, stakeholder engagement to avoid and reduce community impacts, and coordination with responsible and trustee state and federal agencies. The completion of these efforts verifies that the project is permittable and improves understanding of project benefits, risks, and costs. So, continue to move forward with their planning efforts, but they're requesting additional funding to cover planning over the next 2 years. So they're requesting $300 million from all the State Water Project contractors in total. DWR currently anticipates completing the State Water Control Board and the Delta Stewardship Council processes by the end of 26 and advancing to project implementation phase later in late 2027. So the funding request this time is for a 2-year period, so a little bit accelerated payments. We have almost $300,000 in 2026 and then over $400,000 in 2027 for a total of about $715,000 for the city's portion of the contribution. The total county contractor contribution would be about $1.6 million. And Casitas has their contribution at their last board meeting, and United Water Conservation District will be considering theirs at their finance committee and board meetings in March. And then, so for the planned activities that this funding will cover is to finalize state and federal permits and necessary authorizations, continue to develop a community benefits program, advance the development of a plan of finance and contract amendments, certificate of consistency with the Delta Stewardship Council, water rights hearings with the State Water Resources Control Board, and then advance the project design from 5% to 30% through the conducting site investigation survey, engineering support, and engineering studies. So these planned activities through 2027 will provide new information needed to refine benefits, risks, and costs. So in your packet was a attachment B that kind of outlined all the permits that need to be done. And then here is a, this schedule's from 2024, so it's a little bit outdated, but this was the most recent one I could find. This just kind of outlines the current schedule. This one only goes through 2026, but to sort of see the plan for the next year, 2 years. So project costs and benefits. So this funding ask is just for the planning portion. Still to come is the additional contributions and the mechanisms for those contributions for the construction. A preliminary cost assessment was conducted in 2020 early in the design process, and that was estimated the project at $16 billion. In May of 2024, DWR updated cost estimates and released a benefit cost analysis. And that updated cost estimate is $20.1 billion in real 2023 undiscounted dollars. Considering inflation, these two estimates are fairly similar in cost. The 2023 cost estimate was fairly robust and includes a 30% contingency for construction. And then the cost will be updated again once the geotechnical work and additional engineering has been completed, and will incorporate any design and construction innovations that might reduce costs. And so, like I said, there was a benefit cost analysis prepared last year by the Berkeley Research Group. The project benefits were compared to future conditions consistent with the objectives of the environmental impact report. The report calculated a benefit cost ratio of 2.21 to 1. The value of the benefits would be more than double the value of the costs. So, tonight we're asking the Water Commission to advance this item to City Council, to make a recommendation to City Council to adopt a resolution directing the Ventura County Watershed Protection District to send a contribution letter on behalf of the City of San Buenaventura to the Department of Water Resources in accordance with the agreement for the advance of contribution of money to the DWR by the Ventura County Watershed Protection District for preliminary planning and design costs related to a potential Delta conveyance project executed in 2020. And that's all I have.
Okay. Do we have any public speakers?
Not at this time.
No takers. Okay. Well, then let's hear from our commissioners and take their questions now. Let's start in reverse order. Commissioner Sullivan. Excuse me. Vice Chair Sullivan.
Thanks. Thanks for the presentation. My question about generally, like, the city's involvement, or I guess what opportunities, other than responding to the these request letters for funding, does the city engage in when it comes to the planning effort for the Delta?
So we are not, so there's, so in addition to DWR's efforts, the Delta Conveyance Authority was formed. That's leading a lot of the construction. Delta Construction Authority was formed to do the focus on the construction of the project. And so we do not participate in the DCA. Casitas is the administrator for the Calentract, and so they're the main point of contact for DWR and state water contract correspondence, and the city receives updates from Casitas, but we're not actively involved in a lot of the planning efforts. But as such a small piece of the percentage of the contractors, I mean, we don't really have a lot of say in the process.
Okay, next up, Commissioner Aranio.
For those of us that have been in the industry for a couple years, I feel like Charlie Brown. And Lucy's pulling out the football from me again. I have had my wind taken out of my sails so many times by this Delta conveyance facility. I am so... So my question is, what if we say no? I didn't see anything in the report as to what is the what if we say no, what happens? What do we lose? What is the poison pill here if we tell them to go pound sand that have had enough play in their game?
So when we brought this in 2020, the choices were opt in.
I wasn't here in 2020.
Opt in plus or opt out.
Okay.
If you opt out, you do not get any additional reliability from the Delta conveyance facilities. So your allocations would be calculated differently. So for those contractors that do not opt in, they will continue to receive their allocations in accordance with their original contract, but any additional reliability afforded by the Delta conveyance would be subtracted from your allocation. And so when we brought this to the Water Commission and the City Council in 2020, the decision was to opt in at the 100% level. So to keep our increased reliability would be proportionate to our 10,000 acre foot our entitlement. Because not all contractors opted in, there may be some additional Delta conveyance reliability to share amongst other contractors. So Casitas and United did opt-in plus, which is why on the table that I showed previously of our current contributions, normally when we split, say, water project costs, we split, we have half of the water, so we pay half of the cost, but you could see from that table that it wasn't quite half because Casitas and United are paying for that potential additional allocation.
Okay. So we've already contributed $817,000.
Yes, sir.
To date. You're asking us to pitch in another $714,000. It's a big black chip, by the way. And we have no guarantee that suddenly this Delta conveyance plan is going to pass this time, do we? That's going to be accepted or that's going to be built. So
there's no guarantee now. There was a big debate in December. Metropolitan considered this item, and as the major, I think they fund over half of the costs of the project. There was rumored that they may or may not support the project, and that would essentially kill the project. And they are continuing their support of the project through this next planning effort. So I think the issue, I think we'll see. But from where we stand right now, it's this 2 more year trajectory, and we'll have further along in the design, be through the permitting process finally. So that was the issue with, up until 2019, the permitting process was primarily complete for the two tunnel option, and it was time for design and implementation, and we got sent back to the very beginning. And so because the one tunnel option was preferred over the two tunnel option by the governor, then it had to restart the entire process. And so that took the 4 years. And now we need 2 more to get to the finish line on the permitting and planning. And then it's not done because that's 30% design.
It's only 30%.
So 30% design, but we should be at a point where we have the permitting done, which is a big deal. I mean, that's what's taken the longest for such a large project. And then it's going to be up to the contractors to decide if they want to pony up for the construction.
Again, I'm coming back to that you, and DWR is asking us to throw in a $700,000 bet. It's really what it's coming down to in my head. I need to think about it. I'm going to listen to some of the other comments from the commissioners before I'm going to pass at this moment. And we have some really smart people on this commission, and I'm interested in hearing them and what they have to say, that they've been around for decades also and have seen this bait and switch before. So I'm going, please ask me to come back again. Thank you.
All right, Commissioner Handy.
Yes, that was a very interesting conversation, Mr. Commissioner Aranio. In regards to how much we lost or we would lose, I saw one of your reports, I believe, that actually showed the percentages. Also reading some information, they're saying with the current system that they have problems with the fish up there, and this projected unit will go around that. And I believe there was an article that I read today that says it increased from 21,000 acre feet to somewhere in the area of 75,000 acre feet capability using the tunnel because it eliminates the problems with the fish. So I think this would be worth it to evaluate that capability because it would allow us to get more water moving south and take care of the storm flows that would be able to access through this. The other way we can't do it because of the fish constraint and going through the areas up there with the marshes. Anyway. That's all.
Okay, next up, Commissioner Mulligan.
I certainly understand the Charlie Brown analogy. We've been trying to get this project built since the 1950s. It's been that long. And it's frustrating, but it remains a super important project for anybody who receives state project water. The going from 60% down to 52 or 35, it represents a lot of water. And some years that's going to be zero, and it's going to be more often that it's zero without these tunnels. And one real foreseeable circumstance is that there's going to be an earthquake up in the Bay Area. Those islands up in the Delta are below sea level. The levees will fail. It will become an inland sea, and we're going to have 10 years of zero water down here because you can't get the water across the Delta once it becomes an inland sea, because and we'll have to build the tunnel on an emergency basis. So that's a long time for the city not to get its allocation for itself and not to get its allocation to sell to San Gorgonio. It certainly is not a guarantee that this money is going to result in a project, but I think that the downside of not having this tunnel is too severe for the city to opt out at this point, and we need to keep proceeding. So that's my perspective.
All right, Commissioner Namikis.
Well, I think we're too far down this path to really bail on this project. I think it has value, and so I'm in support of it.
That's your comment?
Done.
I'm sorry, I'm looking both ways and trying to read, so you're finished.
Yeah.
My hearing from here down to there is not very good. Commissioner Savage.
I grew up in the Delta. I spent a few years working for Smart Water Resources in the Delta, driving around the Delta. And the issue that Commissioner Mulligan brought up is key. It's not only looking at the additional water, it's keeping the water we have. If you've ever been out there, these are peat levees. They're all under, basically below sea level. They're at some significant risk, including earthquakes that haven't hit in a while, but also anything with climate change, any sea level rise, it's going to get tight. Mm-hmm. Same thing now also with climate change in terms of the fact that we are not getting the snow melts quite the way we used to, more rainfall runoff. So there's really a lot of risk in the Delta for everything. If you've ever been out there, I was doing surveying once with the DWR, and I couldn't get up the levee because I climbed it kept falling apart. I was afraid I was going to flood an island myself. In 1969, the year you referred to earlier, of course, we had to drive all the way to Davis from Antioch around by Vallejo because Sherman Island flooded, and that road was gone, and it sucked all the water in there, which meant you couldn't pump because it brought in seawater, and any one of those islands can go. So I guess I can see no reason to not support trying to fix this. I know we've been through a lot of history. We had a lot of people play games with the Central Valley farmers who convinced the people in Southern California not to vote for the peripheral canal because they, in fact, wanted us to still go up to the Eel River and get water. So there's a lot of games, you're right. But this is coming down to it's time to fix this and go around it. I had long discussions. A guy named Claire Hill was on the Water Commission that put this together, the State Water Project, back in those days. I spent a lot of time with him personally talking about all these items. So I do bring a lot of experience with me. As you mentioned, some of us have been there. So I guess I would encourage us to continue on the road, at least for now. I don't think there's an alternative. So that's my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, have we spoken to United or Casitas about this?
So Casitas approved this at their February meeting. United's considering it at their March meetings. They're taking it to finance, I think, in the beginning of March, and then their full board in mid-March.
Okay. When I look at the planning effort timeline, it's like 7 years of I don't know what. And I know these are all required and they're all necessary, but if it was our commission building this thing, it'd be done in a couple months. I'm being facetious, but seriously, I will go with what the other commissioners say, especially Commissioner Mulligan and Savage, because they know the business well. But it gives me a lot of heartache, quite personally. I don't have a lot of trust in the state, but I think we've bought into this for so long. How about Gorgonia? What are they saying? Are they familiar with this?
I didn't look to see. I think that
they're probably
They supported it last time. So
okay. I'm just wondering because they're one of our partners.
I can check.
Okay. This is really a tough one. It's all water is tough these days, but this one, when we're talking about the state, because it's so far away from our little Ventura, where we at least can see things happening. But anyway, I think we were going to return to Commissioner Aranio. Freudian slip, sir.
Directors or Commissioner Savage, you said the money statement that stuck in my head. What's the alternative? And you're right, that's a money statement right there, what's been said.
And we're building a pipeline to bring that water now.
Yeah, sure would hate to have a stranded asset. Okay, I'm grudgingly going with a yes on this, and I'm growling about it.
I have
an upset stomach about it, but I'll say yes.
I have one question in regards to the Metropolitan Water District and all the different districts involved. Has anybody canceled this or not gone forward with the process?
So I don't know about this time around if anyone has said no. The first time around in 2020, several that I'd have to go back and look at the old staff report of the older information, but yes, some of the contractors did opt out of the planning funding, which is why the opt-in plus option is available for people, because if you pay their share, then you'll get their share of the reliability in the future. So that hasn't all been worked out, but yes, there were some contractors that opted out in 2020. I can look that up. I'm not sure though. I went to Metropolitan because they were the big one, but I didn't look at the other. There's not a list of the other, if there's other contractors that have said no yet. I haven't seen that information.
I do have one more comment. Just one of the things to think about. When there are water supplies available in Northern California that you could purchase if needed, we always had the problem we may not be able to get it through the Delta. Mm-hmm. So it's there, we can't get it. And that's been a problem also. Historically, too. It's a very complex system, certainly. I mean, we dug part of the peripheral canal, actually. It was the fill for Highway 5. So when you fly over, you'll see pieces of that if you really want to feel like Charlie Brown.
I would love to be proved wrong. I really would. I'm going to pray that this is not another bait and switch, that we get down the line and that the next governor decides something else and we're right back at A again.
Just you can see what happened when the administration's changed.
That hurt. That really hurt when that happened.
That cost us 5 years.
That was a bad thing.
It cost us the whole last 5 years and
more.
All of that money that we spent in 2020 and this money, too.
That
so.
Was physical pain.
Okay, now comes the time. Do I hear a motion to approve the water... Recommend Water Commission recommend the City Council adopt a resolution directing Ventura Watershed Protection District to send a contribution letter on behalf of the city.
So move.
Second.
Okay, can we have a vote, please?
Commissioner Aranio.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Commissioner Handy.
Aye.
Commissioner Mulligan.
Yes.
Commissioner Namikas.
Yes.
Commissioner Savage.
Yes.
Vice Chair Schellenberger.
Yes.
Chair Ackerman.
Yes.
And the motion passes with seven A's.
Okay. Let me see here.
I'll note the disdain in my council report.
Our next item, item number four, is Katz and Associates, Associates Strategic Communications Planning Outreach Workshop.
All right. Thank you, Commission. We have Katz and Associates here this evening. We have Ann Newton and Gwyneth Shoecraft to introduce themselves and talk about our new implementation of our outreach program.
Okay. Should I use the microphone or can
Please
you hear
do.
Me if I don't? Okay. All right. Just let me know if I need to speak louder or softer. I've got the clicker. Okay, perfect. Okay, great. Hi, everybody. I'm Ann Newton. I'm with Katz and Associates, and we just went way ahead there. With Katz and Associates, and we're here tonight to introduce ourselves to you and talk a little bit about the program that we'll be working on with the city and you all. And first and foremost, also get some feedback and talk a little bit about the feedback that we've gotten so far as we move forward. So just a little bit about Katz and Associates. We specialize in water communications. You'll see a list up here of on all the different issues that we work on. We are communications partners for our clients from concept to completion. So we work in planning and permitting stages all the way through construction. And we've been in this business for about 38 years. The team that will be working on this project, you've got myself the project director, Sarah Katz serving as strategic counsel, Gwyneth Shoecraft, who you'll hear from in a few minutes, and then we have a local partner, Stacy Miller Public Affairs. They're based in Ventura, and we'll be working with them closely as we work within your community, and then Adam Probolsky, who will lead the opinion research component, and I'll talk a little bit more about that shortly. Just a sampling of the water reuse programs that we've worked with and on across the country. This is very much sort of our bread and butter, so we're very excited to be working with you all. You have other components, of course, of this program. We also work hand in hand with rate consultants as agencies and cities move through rate change processes. So we'll be working closely with Raftellus as we've done with many other agencies. Conservation, a smaller portion of this, but still important. And all of the programs that we create are customized for your local community, for what you're doing, and for your specific goals. So a little bit more about our strategy and our approach. You know, why do we educate and engage? Well, all of these, you know, efforts that we've done before and that we'll do for you require pretty robust outreach and engagement. You guys are well on your way in your potable reuse journey. You've got a good story to tell, and we want to help you tell that story. So we also need to acknowledge that it does require a rate change. Costs have risen, and rates will likely need to go up to keep up with that. And there's so many cost pressures that people are facing in their daily lives, so we're going to be communicating and reaching out to your community to ensure that we've got, you know, a surround sound of information, not just coming from the city and from Ventura Water, but coming from other stakeholders and third parties as we engage deeply within your community. And then we want to shift the narrative, and this is something that we've been doing with a lot of cities and water agencies throughout the state, you know, to a conversation about the value of water. So what do I mean by that? Well, you've got, you know, a big job, like every other water agency, in terms of shifting the perception of water as just a commodity to water as an essential service that supports the economy, that supports public health and safety within your community, food production, and other essential needs. So conservation, a potable reuse project, a rate change, all of these things could be successful as standalone initiatives, but we'd like to advance them under one umbrella as a broader, bigger picture initiative and purpose and mission under the value of water. (Clears throat) I'm going to talk a little bit about research before I pass it over to my colleague, Gwyneth. Included in our scope of services, and we'll work with the city and Ventura Water to identify, you know, the cadence of this. But like I said, Probolsky Research is included in this. And if you're not familiar, they're a well-known and established opinion research firm who does extensive work with cities and water agencies in California and nationwide. But this will really help us inform and customize the outreach that we do. We want to hear directly from residents and customers about what is important to them, what they know, and how, and that will help us in this program to be more impactful. So we're looking at doing a survey, we're looking at doing focus groups, and we'll be working closely with the team as we develop develop both of those tools. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Gwyneth Shoecraft. Sorry.
Good evening. Thank you. So with that body of research that Anne mentioned, that's going to be the foundation that is going to lead us into strategic communications planning. And so from that planning, we will execute certain tasks in pursuit of our goal of a public information and education program. So those tasks include, from the bottom right, Prop 218 planning and notifications, meeting and outreach events, internal communications and message training, of course, overall project management, development of informational materials and multimedia, and engagement and coalition building. So when we talk about engagement and coalition building, we can think of it as like a ladder or a series of steps. We start with awareness of projects or programs, key initiatives such as Ventura Water Pure, long-term water conservation goals, and other initiatives. And then we want people to follow us, learn more, and become engaged. And different people will stop at different steps along the ladder or rungs along the ladder. But we're hoping, what we're hoping to do is to engage them enough so that they begin to champion these initiatives. And so in order to kind of cultivate these champions, identify them, engage them, and educate them, we will be working within your community. And so we'll be working with existing partners that you already have, the city already has, and Ventura Water already has. And this is also where having Stacy Miller, Public Affairs, on the team will be vital, because they are embedded and integrated in the community and have cultivated strong relationships as well. The commissioners who responded to our questionnaire also identified some potential champions, and we'll discuss that a little later. So the first steps of this public information, pardon me, sorry. This was our local partner. Pardon me about that. So the first steps in this public information education program are kind of right here, right now. We're starting. So we're here today beginning those first steps, identifying roles and responsibilities, assessing needs with staff, and conducting stakeholder interviews. We're going to move towards developing that survey instrument that Anne had mentioned, launching our survey, using that data and those results to develop messaging, and eventually that strategic public information and education plan. More broadly, over the 16-month timeline, we've categorized four key phases. So the first one we are in right now, the kickoff and planning phase, we'll be launching the Public Information Education Initiative and doing our initial research. During strategic development, we'll coordinate with the rate consultant, develop our messaging platform and our communications plans, as well as mapping stakeholders, and then also developing some internal trainings and workshops. During the next phase, the content development and community outreach, we're going to be creating educational materials, doing our media planning, and engaged in efforts for community engagement, meetings, speakers, bureaus, and developing social media strategy. And the final phase will be implementation and public engagement, which we'll see increased public outreach, active social media rollout, media outreach execution, and ongoing project management and reporting. And you'll see kind of along the x-axis here, we have some key milestones within this 16-month timeline of the rate study adoption consideration in November of 2025, and then potentially new rates being implemented in July 2026. So during this 16-month timeline, we'll be providing the city and Ventura Water with some key deliverables. So those are kind of outlined based on those four component sections, but really broadly throughout the timeline, it'll be budgeting and scheduling during this kickoff portion, strategic development, we'll be delivering research, stakeholder mapping, and trainings. Content development, we'll have those informational materials and multimedia campaigns, and then implementation is just that's increased outreach and events. So as part of kind of our first research endeavor, we asked the commissioners to fill out an eight-question questionnaire ahead of our meeting today. And I want to thank you all for taking the time to do that. You provided such thoughtful responses, very thorough, and certainly gave us a lot for us to work with as we start to begin to build this body of research. So thank you for your time doing that. So what I'm going to do tonight is just present a very broad overview of that. Of the key results of the questionnaire and some kind of aggregate responses that we can kind of start to develop themes. However, please know that all your input and feedback is definitely within our body research now and will be incorporated and is appreciated. So really high level kind of key takeaways from the questionnaire that we provided the commissioners were that you've identified some key water and wastewater issues that need stronger public outreach, which is good. That's our hope and what we hope to do for you. And among them, Ventura Water Pier was the top priority. Other high-ranking priorities included water conservation, infrastructure improvements, and water quality. So that was kind of overall amongst the eight questions, but there was a specific ranking question, and again, this kind of fell in lockstep with the general themes that your top outreach priorities as ranked were Ventura, Water Pier, water conservation, water quality, and infrastructure. But the lower priorities are still important, the state water project connection and discharge requirements. So what your response is and kind of our future research will help us focus on is creating outreach efforts that address the top-ranked topics while also providing accessible information about all key areas. So collectively, the commissioner's responses and the perceptions of public understanding show us that you believe the public is aware of many of these key initiatives, projects, programs, but really require more clear details about them. A few key areas that your answers to the questionnaire identified for increased public education were how Ventura Water Pier ensures safety and reliability, the role of the state water project in long-term water supply, the impact of conservation regulations on residents, and also the available resources for them. And all of this can be something kind of a next step is we're going to take these gaps and try to fill them with that clear, accessible messaging. Infrastructure was also mentioned many times and ranked very highly as one of the top concerns. Clearly the commissioners, through their responses, recognize a need for more communication on the benefits of planned infrastructure projects, particularly Ventura Water Pier. And clarity on how those projects will impact rates and service. So a way for us to focus our messaging is to demonstrate how these investments in infrastructure support water reliability, water safety, and long-term sustainability. So again, thank you for taking the time to fill out the questionnaire, and your feedback will shape outreach. Something that you've already done for us is begin to identify those potential partners. So earlier, I missed the slide for a second, but we got to see it for a second of some already identified partners. And then you also had some great suggestions as who these champions of engagement could be for us, for the city and for Ventura Water. So it would be the city itself, environmental groups, education partners, community-based organizations, and other community groups. So through the questionnaire, you identify the key water and wastewater issues that need stronger public outreach. We will use that feedback to align our public education initiatives with those priorities to develop clearer messaging and thereby expanding public engagement and support of the Ventura Water Pier Project, the associated rate study, and long-term conservation goals. So that concludes my presentation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we have any public speakers at this time? Okay, Mr. Amendola. This is that second opportunity for any subject you like.
Any?
Any subject you'd like to address to the commission,
well,
correct?
Good evening again. I'm going to speak on this item, but first I'd like to say that in many meetings that we have had in this room regarding the Water Commission, there has been a consistent issue with the AV equipment, the audio, especially during the last meeting. And after the last meeting, I observed that with the city's strategic planning council meeting, they had no issues. So I don't know if it's the equipment, if it's staff, but these things should be tested before the meeting starts. And I consider it it's insulting. It's a waste of my time as a resident not to have this perfected, and it's a waste of your time. And it's disrespectful to this body to not have the AV working. So I'd just like to put that out there because it happens too frequently, and it only happens with this meeting of commissioners. So on this subject specifically, I can appreciate that the city has engaged a PR firm to do outreach, public service, etc. And it's my recollection that there was a contract not to exceed, I don't remember the exact value, $300,000 or $500,000. And it makes me question why, especially when reflecting on the last item, Commissioner Naranjo has anguish over approving $700,000 for something that may or may not happen. It's like shooting craps or playing roulette. It's too much of a gamble. And I go back to this specific issue. Nothing against the vendor cats. I'm sure they do fine work. But what's missing from this discussion across the board with this entire body, from staff to the commission, from commission back to staff, is the question of affordability. It is not a priority in any way whatsoever to anything that we have heard in the last few meetings over the past year about the cost to the ratepayers. We know it's baked in that the rates are going to triple. There's been plenty of guidance about that, whether it's in the next 5 years or 10 years. And it just seems that nobody really cares about if it's affordable to the ratepayers. And a lot of people right now in Ventura are hovering just above the poverty line, which means they're vulnerable to any financial shock, rent hikes, medical bills, or job instability. The cost of living is high, and even though official poverty rates might be around 9.5%, plenty more are struggling just to stay afloat. And I think this commission and staff is completely out of touch, not recognizing that. And there needs to be an economic impact study on these rate increases. The why is missing from this discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, commissioners, let's start from Commissioner Savage and your comments or questions from the Katz and Associate presentation.
I don't really have any questions for them specifically, but I do want to highlight, it's important for the ratepayers to know what they're buying, what they're getting when they talk about changing rates, that they need to understand things like, why are we doing this pure water thing just for drinking water, not really understanding the whole system and why it's there. I came here 3 years ago, was trying to look up information, having been at Irvine Ranch Water District for 30 some odd years under their information sharing programs where everybody knew what was going on. It it's really important. If we're asking people to spend a lot of money, they need to understand why. And that's what this program is about. And I'll be honest with you, this is one of the best firms doing it. The competitor happens to be a firm that I sub to, so they couldn't propose from Data Instincts. But Katz, I 23 years ago, I worked with Katz and Associates on a project in El Paso, Juarez, Las Cruces, bilingual program. It was a great experience with them at that time. And if you go do your homework in the water reuse arena and look up who wrote the books on how to do public involvement, Katz and Associates and Allied Data Instincts together, Mark Malone, working with Sarah and others. These are the firms that you'd want to use to do this, to be very honest. So I just wanted you all to be aware of that, since you're kind of not maybe in that part of the industry. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Namikas.
Well, information is knowledge, and I think you've got your work cut out for you. And you know, we are talking about great sums of money. And so that message has to be really, really clear. And so, good luck.
I have a similar perspective. You have your work cut out for you. The projects are good and they're necessary, but it's all complicated and expensive. Mm-hmm. And translating that so that people understand is really tough. And I'm glad you have a lot of experience with it. I look forward to seeing what you come up with.
Commissioner Handy?
Yes, I agree with my fellow commissioners on what was said. What you guys are embarking on is going to be very interesting in the way you go about it in regards to getting the information out there. That will be very, just like you say in this meeting tonight, there's only a couple people that are residents that are in here. So the knowledge base on what's going on with the water system in this city, most of your residents, I don't believe, have much knowledge as to what's really happening. And I wish you luck in your venture.
Commissioner Aranio. I was encouraged when I read that you've worked with over 100 agencies, and I saw the list of the agencies that you've worked with, particularly dealing with water, pure recycled water. Obviously, the water industry has an ongoing challenge right now with conveying that water served through a municipal system is safe to consume. You only need to walk in a store and see all the different varieties of bottled water that are there in order to understand what is the market and what the issues are there. Now you go ahead and compound that with Ventura Water Pure, and you're going to be doubly challenged, not only to get past the psychological ick factor that goes along with it, but just general, concerns that are about water. For myself, I'm drinking it here. It's safe. Please do. Don't worry about it. But yes, you've got a very big hurdle to jump, and I wish you the best of luck at that. I'll be interested to see how it is received, how you go about doing it.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Vice Chair Schellenbarger.
Thank you for your presentation, and agree, you have definitely your work cut out for you. As somebody who I have also kind of overseen some public education and outreach contracts before and paid media plans when it comes to trying to communicate stormwater issues, both locally and kind of regionally, I understand some of the elements that go into this, into the plan and the surveys, and also worked on some projects that involved a needs assessment of disadvantaged communities in Ventura County and what they believe their water, what their water needs are, and that was only just a few years back. And City of Ventura has participated in those in that grant-funded program as well. I recommend you look at the results of that study. I'm sure Gina and staff would be happy to send you. There's a dashboard. And one of the communities is Ventura Avenue that we conducted some focus groups and some, actually it was during COVID, so it was a great time to be doing community outreach to a population that's also, you know, historically been underrepresented. And there were some interesting tactics that were developed for engaging with the community, especially during those trying times of not being able to hold community events. And I recommend, you know, you looking at that report and some of the things that worked really well. And there were a couple workshops on the avenue that came out of that. And actually touching on what a fellow commissioner was mentioning about bottled water is one of the main concerns was water quality that we heard from the community. And their, you know, hesitation to drinking their tap water and understanding the water quality reports. And so I do think that that, when it comes to affordability too, that kind of goes hand in hand when you're talking about the costs of water, is making sure the community is aware that, you know, water quality is an important thing to communicate, because we all know that what you're paying for is a lot more in the stores than what you're going to be getting out of your tap. So I do want to emphasize that. And I notice on here a lot of the potential partners, you know, I don't know what CBOs exactly you're, you know, referring to, but I imagine it's probably not the same CBOs that we hired and contracted to do community engagement to underrepresented communities and frontline communities. So, because they're going to be the ones hardest hit and are probably not going to be the champions of increasing their water rates. Of course, they're the ones we're concerned about too when it comes to affordability in particular. So I don't see necessarily as partners, but I do think it's really important to engage with those groups, those organizations, honestly and transparently. And I want to encourage looking at that as not just, you know, a partner for championing the message to everyone and getting that, but as really taking a specific look at how are we going to engage some of those communities and different community-based organizations. And I'm happy to give my thoughts and my experience on some of that since I've worked in some similar projects for different purposes. And continue to have engagement with some of those groups. I also just want to bring up is, you know, what does success look like here? And we didn't really talk, that's not really mentioned here. And I don't know if when the surveys, obviously we'll know if rates get passed, like there's some success there. But also, you know, community perception, is there going to be a plan to do follow-up surveys to understand, you know, what did we get after this contract, 300 and something thousand, you know, if that was the not to exceed, I didn't look at it myself, but at the end of the day, did we increase education? Did we increase, you know, the knowledge, and did we increase, you know, trust and understanding and of Ventura Water and the city's water system? So I'd be curious to see, are we gonna have a conclusion at the end of this that we can see some of those results of the efforts?
Thank you.
That's my comments. Thank you.
Thank you.
Boy, I think Ventura Water is a project that I probably, if I live long enough, I'd like to think I might, but it's going to be way down the road when we start depending on purified water. We can recharge our groundwater basins, and we should probably have a talk about that sometime. Where are we at in our basin recharge? But it's really hard to spend a lot of money for the future when you're not sure what the future is going to look like. So that's going to be your job, to convince people that we will need to have our water supply. We've talked about it over and over again, but once again, when they see the numbers, it's going to be a tough job. So I look forward to seeing how we accomplish this. Thank you very much. Any other comments you want to?
Yes, one thing real quick. We have very strong and robust community councils in the city of Ventura, and I believe that's something you should really look at, because we've got 7 or 8 of them, and the Avenue one is very active, and you can get a hold of them, work with them also.
Great. Thank you so much.
That's a very good point about the community councils. All right. At that point, thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.
And I think we're going to move on to the general manager's report.
All right. Thank you, commissioners. So Ventura Water staff worked 2 weeks ago to fulfill the requirement of restoration of the Ventura River Bank.
that was part of the permit authorization for the emergency work for the line repair for NIWIL 7 and 8. So we planted back native willows. That was an opportunity for all of us to get together as one Ventura Water team and promote our commitment to environmental stewardship and fulfilling that requirement of the plant back of willow. So we got great rain right after that, and we have noticed a little bit of new growth and buds on some of our willow plantings already. On February 1st, the City Council did hold a priority strategy meeting to establish focused areas for the next 2 years. These priorities will be going to the City Council for adoption in March, and staff will update the Water Commission if there are any changes to the Water Commission's work plan based on that adoption. We are still looking for guidance from the City Council and the City Manager's Office on how that will impact. And we expect that there'll be some messaging to you from the council afterwards. So March 25th, that will be going to City Council. Staff attended the One Water Roundtable workshop held by the American Water Works Association on February 20th. We heard multiple agencies from around the country that are planning on how to holistically approach managing water resources and contributing to the One Water objective as set forth by the Water Alliance. One takeaway that we did have from that workshop was that Ventura Water Pure and State Water Interconnection in providing an augmented portfolio and holistically looking at all of the water sources available to a community, we're on a good track. So thank you, Water Commission, for the work that you continue to do here to look at how to develop all of our water resources. City Council has had their regularly scheduled meeting tomorrow. That's February 25th. As you heard from our contractor, Matt Ramey, the Climate Action Resiliency Plan will be going to, or program will be going to City Council along with the presentation of the fiscal year 2026-2030 CIP. So those will be two items that will be heard tomorrow at City Council. Ventura Water will be supporting the CSU Channel Islands Steam Carnival with an informational booth and our award-winning Chase the Sewer Polluter activity at the campus on Saturday, March 8th, 1 to 5 p.m. And then our next Water Commission will be held on March 24th.
Okay, thank you very much. Commissioner Communications. Let's start with Vice Chair Schellenberger. If you just raise your hand if you have a communication in the interest of our time. Yes, sir.
Could you bring up the schedule of what we have coming up in our meetings, please? And the March meeting, I believe that's starting to work on the CWRR, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, one thing I would like to see.
Oh, we moved it? We moved that to April.
It's April.
Forgive me.
We're not going to talk about that one at all. One of the things I'd like to see in that is the sourcing of information and how you make your decisions on what water source you use to put that in the CWRR to make it more transparent. And in regards to your water usage, I believe it should be added also your water production to show how much water we're actually producing versus what we're actually using. And show that it's what's going on with our water system. I believe that's important to add.
Yes, sir. Commissioner Savage.
Yes. Speaking of rates and like, a lot of things are happening now in the East. I just hope that you can bring to the table what risk we might have with some of our grants that we have from the federal government, and maybe at that time you can also inform so that what would happen if we don't actually get our, was it 60 million? I forget the amount that we got in the most recent. I don't think they've cut any of that off yet. Obviously, I keep watching it. I know you have people watching it very closely. I have my old lobbyist friend sending me things weekly now.
Yeah, we will be bringing you some updates on the grants for Ventura Water Pure and the Ventura Water Pure update. right now we've been told to keep moving forward until there's direction.
The question we'll get to otherwise. Be is, if we don't get those, what does that do to rates?
And we have that cost of service study and that scenario where we have the ultimate build out of grant funding. We gave those four scenarios before. Right. We'll just adjust them to what we're looking at now, but that'll be coming to you in the rate study as well.
People need to understand what's happening at the local level from what's happening at the national level. And nothing political, it's just pure money I'm worried about.
Any other comments?
Echo what Commissioner Handy said. I think it would be helpful in the CWRR to just discuss how sources are selected, as you'd make decisions about which source to use. It's come up a few times over the last couple of years, and I think some discussion of that in the CWRR would be helpful.
Okay.
I agree with him.
All right. One comment here. Your Form 700 economic interest is due pretty soon, I do believe April 1st, and you can find that or fill it out through NetFile. Has everyone gotten that email, Form 700? Mm-hmm. Just be aware of it. I forgot it and got all that one time, so. That's about it. I'd say that we're looking forward to seeing all of you on March 24th, 2025 at 5:30 p.m. And our meeting is adjourned.